Fred Film Radio, BFI, London Film Festival, United Kingdom.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 BFI London Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Hari Sama. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Presenting the film, This Is Not Berlin. So for the benefit of the listeners who are not familiar with the film yet, would you like to maybe say a few words to introduce it?
Sure. This Is Not Berlin is a film about a very small underground movement in 1986 Mexico City, which is kind of a weird thing, I guess. So it's a story of a friendship, too. It's a story of two growing kids from the suburbs in Mexico City, and somehow they get thrown into a club where everything was happening and going on, a lot of artists and a lot of drugs, blah, 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 and that changes their life forever.
Is there elements that are autobiographical in this film?
There are. It's a pretty autobiographical film. Yes. Most of it comes from my own experience.
Oh, really? And you also grew up in the suburbs, because I feel that that's also a very important part of the movie.
Yes, I did. Most of my pre-adolescence and part of my adolescence was... Yeah, I was growing up in those suburbs, not far from the suburbs you can see on the film.
Right. And so, I mean, this is kind of like an Alice in Wonderland adventure in a sense. You know, they go deep into the rabbit hole, and there's some exciting stuff, but it's also quite a dangerous scene in a sense, too. It's very exciting, but there's a dark side to it as well.
Absolutely. I think our search, when we're looking for something and we're confused, and obviously we're more vulnerable probably when we're so young, and the characters on the film are pretty vulnerable. They come from very upstraight and square families, and families that are broken, and that, you know, they don't really structure them very much. So once they find this, and of course they find, as you say, a lot of light through art and self-expression, and actually they end up defining their identity somehow. Yeah. But at the same time, they go deep into drugs and other, I don't want to say darker, but probably, as you said, more dangerous stuff.
But it in a way, what you're saying then also implies that art is not just a means of expression, but also finding your identity. So do you feel that that's still the case today? Because, I mean, this film is set sometime in the past, around the 1986, the World Cup, actually. Yeah. Do you feel that's still the case today? Or is there a decrease in the way in which young people experience art?
Oh, my God, I don't know. I think that depends on you. I mean, on the individual, totally. I mean, art could be a business, yes. It could be commerce, and it could be... And I went to see the William Blake exhibit yesterday, and I find it was so powerful. It changed me, in a sense, to be there. And I find that art can do that for you if you allow it. And if you are the creator, it's just magic. It's really magic.
So you still allow art to have an impact on you?
Oh, yeah. I need it. It's my life. I mean, filmmaking and watching films and reading stuff and going to exhibits is really a big part of what I am, because I need that experience. The aesthetic experience changes me, and I find that I've found in film the better way to communicate with other people and myself, probably.
Actually, you know, in this film in particular, there's a coming together of different art forms. I know that, you know, traditionally we think of cinema as a coming together of art forms. You've got photography, you've got, you know, music, and you've got the actual art that appears in the film via the narrative. So that's also an experience that you share of what you have come across throughout the years. I mean, I feel like this film is a coming together of different art forms on the screen.
I guess that has to do with the fact that I experienced art in a very, it was an explosion. I had it all at the same time, sort of.
And the word explosion actually leads me to think that there's also a lot of sexual energy in this film.
There is sexual energy, and there's mystical energy in a very not obvious way, probably, no. Because... I feel art does that for you. And one of the things that the main character discovers throughout the film is that he has an option, you know, of realizing who he is through his own discovery of being an artist somewhere, you know?
In a sense, you know, if we look at this as a depiction of art itself, we get the political message, but we also get the expression of sexuality that happens through art, but also in art.
Oh, yeah, totally. And again, that has to do with who you are, because half of what the expression of art is has to do with who is watching it, right? And I think that's the beauty of it, that you're really communicating with someone. You might not... I mean, I'm fortunate enough to be here and have the opportunity of talking to people who have watched the film. But even if that didn't happen, I know that I'm communicating with someone, because I've been on the reverse side reading Murakami and saying, you know, this just makes me a better human being right now because I'm suffering like crazy for whatever reason. And this human being someday when he wrote this book was suffering as crazy, and he just wanted to communicate with me that I'm reading right now. And time disappears, doesn't exist anymore, you know? And who I am and who you are disappear as well. And I think that's just magic.
It's difficult to live in the moment, though, like that, isn't it?
Oh, it's extremely difficult.
It's kind of haunting in a sense. It's very hard for me. But when you say communicating, maybe we'll end it on this. Do you see this film? Are you trying to communicate to anyone in particular with this film? The age range of the young characters, for example, or no?
I've found that there's a lot of young people that have really related to what's going on in the film. And then also there's people from my generation, especially from the Anglo world.
Yeah.
And that's probably why it's done so well in the U.S. and here, is because people from my age range lived it directly. And they get to relive it, and with the music and the whole thing. And because... And going back to the title, This Is Not Berlin, we were longing for London and New York City and Berlin, you know, and with all the music that we were listening to did not come. We had a little scene in Mexico City, very tiny. We were living in a very strong dictatorship, even if it's not very known outside. We everything was forbidden. So we were listening to Joy Division and Clan of Cymex and Bauhaus and all of these dark, inspired, artsy bands from here, actually. And that was, you know, that really empowered us. And that's part of what we were trying to... That's how we lived.
Right.
Music was a way of living. It was not just listening to the music. It was impersonating the character.
It was more of an event, I think, you know. And that's definitely true. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. But it was fascinating talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for watching the film.
Thanks a lot. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.